Good morning, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection this Saturday, January 11th, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on this wild card weekend. Brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Body Armor, and we are located across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg. I'm Mike Rickard, across from Joe Geiger, baseball Ben Botham, and the man, the myth, the legend, Ray Kennedy, the man of the people in St. Petersburg. We're live on RadioSt.Pete.com and, of course, Florida Sports Streams and Spotify, that platform as well. I've been going there quite a bit, and go to Spotify, and you can watch On the Tee Florida, Bump That Media, as well as the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Going to be a jam-packed weekend down here at Ferg's, wild card weekend, some great NFL contests. Ray Kennedy will break down tomorrow night's game. Of course, that's the Bucks and the Commanders over at Ray J. We'll talk about wild card. We'll talk about how wild Ben Botham's bets are today, and Joe Geiger will break down the games today for us as well. Conversations today will take place with we'll get back into the Rowdies conversations, talking a little soccer. David Wilson will join us shortly, and we'll talk about that. And we've got our little savant, of course, Wyatt Ross. He'll talk Tampa Bay Lightning. And then we've got my buddy and a very knowledgeable guest, and that is Dan McCarney. He's a former head coach at Iowa State University. He was an assistant at Iowa, an assistant at Notre Dame. We'll talk about the championship game with him. But he was also on the staff of Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow and the boys, and got a couple of national championship games under his belt. So he'll talk about that. And he was one of the assistant coaches when they started the USF program. And he's got some great perspective on that, too. So always great to have him on. Well, fellas, first time we've been together in 2025. Good to see you again.
Yeah, the new year's starting off hot. Yeah, well, not hot.
It's not hot. It's colder than hell.
Yeah, I've been out there all week. You know, it's for at least baseball, it's the first week of workouts. And next week is the first week high school teams can do tryouts, Mike. So we're rip-roaring and ready to go out there, but it's been damn cold out there.
Well, let me ask you this. Our own Mikal Morris, and by the way, Joe Geiger and Mikal Morris and Brad Richardson did an incredible job last week on the Sunbash coverage. 9 games, great video footage by Joe here. But Mikal Morris on Thursday night, I have a question here. You know, he plays for Lakewood in baseball, mm-hmm. and he had practice.
Had practice?
Yeah.
See, no practice.
Is that against the rules?
100%. There's no practice.
I just
allowed.
Threw him under the bus.
No baseball activities allowed whatsoever. You're only allowed to throw. You're allowed to run. You're allowed to work out. But no baseball activities allowed whatsoever.
Which actually is doing you a favor in this weather, right?
I mean, yeah, it's still pretty darn cold out there. We've been all bundled up, making sure our guys are taking care of their arms, you know, doing a little bit of running around, getting the legs back under them. You know, that's the important thing right now.
Exactly. And by the way, you come down to Ferg's, we've made some moves now. We are actually in the process of building a studio in the front room when you come in to Ferg's from Central Avenue. It's just to the left. We can see the street. We've got a nice window here. Turning this into basically, this is kind of the Hall of Fame room, if you will. We've got some great memorabilia right up your alley,
yeah.
And we're building a studio in the corner. So we'll be here for all of our shows, and we're going to launch some more podcasts. We're going to talk to Ray Kennedy and his gang about utilizing our studio as well. And we're going to open up podcast opportunities to the public. Everybody thinks they're better than the talking heads, right? Right, Ben?
You're not wrong.
Exactly. So our thought, I came up with this goofy idea about 3 weeks ago, since I've been pretty much home confinement. I'm coming up with a lot of crazy ideas. But this one we're going to launch down at Sea Dogs as well. They're building a studio. And think about it. People come in town, down at Sea Dogs. We don't care what the topic is. It can be a bachelorette party, family reunion, off the wall, wild weekend. And you guys are like, hey, they got a podcast booth. Let's go over there. You know, I'm drunked up. We don't care. We'll archive it for you. And then, if you so wish us to, we'll put it out there on Florida Sports Streams and archive it for other people to listen. So it's kind of like karaoke. You'll be able to come in here and you got the best. We'll have the speakers set up, but everybody thinks that, you know, their era. And we're going to launch OG Radio, by the way. That's not old gangster. Well, in some cases, maybe, but old guy radio. And because I've got a plethora of guys that we've just talked to, you know, who are old guys. Mm-hmm. So we'll be launching that. And we've got a couple of players we're going to bring into our circle that I'll introduce you to. So we're going to have some new talent on the airwaves. we'll keep the OGs of the world, the Ray Kennedys. You're just on the edge of being an OG. But some of the things we're going to do, and I'm looking forward to that. So come on, if you come down to Ferg's, just walk in and join us, and we'll find some swag for you as we get things going down here. And Ray Kennedy, I know you're excited this time of year. It's wild card, and you got your creamsicle on. You bought that, what, 100 years ago?
Yeah, it's an oldie. Hey, Happy New Year, fellas, by the way.
Happy New Year.
New Year. I keep forgetting that. So you're going to be over there tomorrow, right?
No, I'm not. I'm down at the world-famous First Sports Bar and Grill down on Central Avenue, just below 16th Street in the District of St. Petersburg.
You do not want to go across the bridge and freeze your ass off tomorrow night?
Peter wants me to come over to a pregame show at the What the Buck tailgate. Shout out to What the Buck. They do a great job. They raise money. They have a tailgate party, and it's for a cause. But he wants me to come over to do a show, and then I said, well, you know. And I said,
you want to be amongst the people down here, Ferg's.
That's why I love the OG. I love the thought of people coming down here. Where else would you want to be than a world famous Ferg's to enjoy a Bucks Commanders game on a Sunday night?
That's what I like.
I was listening to one of the talking heads on another station today talking about Todd Bowles and everybody wanting his head. I think I've heard you mention that before. Yeah. You've always been pro Todd Bowles.
He's keeping it together.
Exactly.
Yes.
See, I'll say I'm not necessarily.
What say you, youngster? You're not exactly the optimist of this group.
It's a back and forth thing with Todd Bowles. His defense sucks in the first half, but it doesn't.
Well, first of all, he's been decimated as far.
I'll give him that, but
well, yeah, you have to give that to him.
Of games, our defense hasn't allowed a touchdown in the past 4 or 5 weeks. So, I mean, he has made the adjustments in the second half, and this week we'll have Dean and Winfield should be coming back. So. I think Todd Bowles is obviously – he ain't going anywhere after another division win, so you're stuck with him.
Well, I don't know, stuck with him. There's a lot of teams that would like a Todd Bowles success.
Sure.
And all the changes he's gone through and all the different position changes that have taken place, decimated offensive lines, defensively decimated. Arguably your number two best wide receiver out for the season. Mike Evans out for a period of time. I think Todd Bowles has done a hell of a job. Just because he's not, you know, Bruce Arians in your face, dropping F-bombs, who I love Bruce Arians,
yeah.
That kind of personality, people dislike him. And that blows.
You won't see knee-jerk reaction from Todd Bowles.
Never!
And you don't get Dave Canales a head job in Carolina and bring Liam Cohen in now.
Who's going to get a head job, unfortunately?
Well, interviewing in Jacksonville. And you don't tell, hey, if you're an offensive coordinator out there, I think Don Coryell is trying to come back to life. And
San Diego Chargers, folks, if you want to go like, that's OG radio.
Believe it or not, Bruce Arians comes from the Air Coryell tree.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, the thing is, you're going to have no problem finding OCs. Now, Liam Cohen is a great caller. He has a good rhythm. But at the end of the day, you don't fire Lovie Smith to keep Dirk Cotter. You don't fire Todd Bowles to keep Liam Cohen. I mean, at the end of the day, he's done enough to remain as head coach. And T says, you know, stuck with him. Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's through the thick and thin in the injuries this season. He has them again playing here playoffs against the Commanders tomorrow night over at Remington.
We're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages, of course, covering all of our high school coverage. As we mentioned, we did a superb – I sat at home and was editing from afar. Not from afar, 2 blocks away. But the guys did a superb job. I tell you what, Joe, let's talk a little bit about Sunbash before we dive in. Then I want you to give us the NFL lineup this weekend. Talk about talent in the house, huh, at Northside Christian.
Yeah, great tournament. 3 full days of just basketball and
Teams from best teams in the state of Florida.
Yeah, we had Pinellas County teams, Tampa teams, a couple teams from towards the middle of the state, and they all showed out. They
Villages.
Knew what they wanted to do, and they played well. They played their hearts out. The crowd was nice. It was a good tournament.
You know, one of the things that this state, you know, everybody thinks it's a football state. You would argue it's baseball state.
100%.
Yes, and minimize basketball. This is a deep, talent-laden state when it comes to basketball. It just doesn't get the exposure that it would in other states.
It's Florida. We got athletes all around.
Oh, yeah.
Most football players or basketball players, most baseball players play another sport. So, I mean, that's what we do here.
You know, the beauty of this tournament and the beauty of this story is the Gibbs Gladiators. Now, we know that, you know, Gibbs is in a –
dicey neighborhood. You know that. You're a coach.
My dad's a graduate of Gibbs.
Your dad, Kevin, is a graduate of the Gibbs Gladiators?
He certainly is.
He's on that bandwagon or that basketball team?
He's probably rooting for Seminole a little bit. I mean, we did beat them last year, the state champion team.
Which was a great wake-up call for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the job that Coach Mason has done, Larry Mason, just won his 400th high school game. With that, not deep pockets as far as alumni, no incredible contributions, just with dealing with what he's given is incredible success. And he is a very composed man, very humble, great guy. And it's one of those success stories we need to highlight, because you don't see it in the public school level much anymore. It's all private schools. You know, it's the deep money of the alumni base. It's the Jesuits of the world, you know, the Clearwater Central Catholic. I mean, they've got tradition, history to lean on, and Gibbs in the world of basketball. And I know a very, very respected football coach that's not working right now, that's been approached by Gibbs, but he said, here's the problem. You can't get numbers. It's kind of like at Seminole.
Yeah.
Augie Sanchez could not get numbers to come out. Mm-hmm. Well, Gibbs in football, same situation. Basketball, yeah. You don't have that issue.
Yeah, it's... I don't think people at home really understand how difficult it is as a public high school coach in order to
especially in Florida,
in order to get numbers or
in
just
Pinellas County.
In Pinellas County.
It makes me puke being an outsider. When you guys tell me these things,
mm-hmm.
I just shake my head. I'm sorry.
Well,
I didn't
you have schools like IMG Academy, R3, a million different
dollars,
not only dollars, but these private institutions that are nabbing some of the best talent out of Pinellas County. They're taking them out of the public schools and they're putting them into these private schools, or they're promising them, you know, the world. They're promising them all these opportunities, getting scouts to look at them. And it's something that us as public schoolers, we're kind of hamstrung. We're got our hands tied behind our backs.
Well, and now with NIL, it's even getting worse.
Exactly.
Our guest at noon, folks, today, as I mentioned, Dan McCarney, he's going to break it down, because he is just – he's dumbfounded by what's happening at the high school level. Chaminade Madonna, which is probably what, 12, 13 D1 kids on that team. I know last year they did. They won their third straight national championship, Florida championship. But they had four kids on that team that were paid $35,000 each. And that was this year. And it's just not a fair playing ground.
It's really not. I mean, we can't compete with that.
Seminole, what, 35 bucks maybe? Go get yourself some grub.
I mean, we can't give the kids
bogey, 350?
I mean, my guy batted 320 one year, and I didn't get paid a dime.
Are you kidding me?
I know, right?
I'll give you some Ferg's bucks.
Ferg bucks. Yeah, it's tough as a high school head coach, specifically for public schools. Yeah, you can't compete with somebody who's shelling out dollar amounts, who's saying, hey, we're going to get you here, we're going to get you there.
And it's ruining high school sports.
It really is, because you have schools like Seminole. When I was at Seminole High School, we were a 7A program, and they were even talking about creating –
and that wasn't very long ago.
It wasn't. That was 2016, and they even talked about creating 8A because how big our class was. And now Seminole's a 4A school, and we're slowly dropping beyond that as well. And you see that with Osceola. You see it with Largo. You see it
Hollins.
With all Hollins. All the schools around here. We're losing those kids
to
Pirates,
the Boca Ciega.
Bogey's dropped to like a Title I school now again.
Well, most schools in Pinellas County actually are Title I schools now.
That's sad.
The term Title I, honestly.
Well, define that for our audience that's not familiar with Title I.
So
it sounds like a special needs school.
So it's a school with underprivileged students where the financials behind it aren't very good generally. Minorities and stuff like
that.
So
Gibbs falls under that.
Yes. So practically any school now in Pinellas County is a Title I school. Seminole's a Title I school technically. But it really doesn't carry the weight that it used to, because they're trying to kind of diversify a lot of the schools and trying to open it up to everybody and give every student opportunity. But it does make it tough for us to compete. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the ability to compete with these schools that are bringing in kids and promising them the world, giving them gear that we just can't keep up with.
And you have to fundraise on your own.
Fundraise like crazy. My bowling team, I handed out, you know, bowling sweatshirts.
I went down for the count. Otherwise, we would have had some nice apparel.
Yeah,
but again, you would have had somebody contribute it.
It's really tough. You have to have a donor base. You have to have somebody out there with money. You have to have the community support you. We don't have the $10,000-$15,000 tuitions that these other schools have.
Hollins has Ray Kennedy. So that's a good thing there.
Let me ask you, as these lines have blurred, the NIL lines have blurred down to the high school level, and pretty soon peewees, right? Are schools able, are Seminole Highs, or Osceola Highs, are they able in a position where they can go out and get somebody to look for financing, to go out and say, look, you can sponsor our team, and would that possibly
Once you win a championship, people are jumping, you know, like Gibbs right now.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're not having a problem, you know, getting money to assist in their travel.
Sure.
They got great uniforms, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you can get sponsorships, but again, you're not going to get help. I mean, that's on the coach to go out and mm-hmm. ask for specific sponsors.
Yeah, these coaches are so busy already, Ben.
They're so underpaid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, and you have to think about this, and this is a little something probably a lot of people don't know, is that the stipend that we receive is taxed as not just like a normal, like what you get on your salary. It's taxed as a bonus.
So it's 33%, around there.
It's at that higher tax rate. So that $2,000 that you get for being a baseball coach, like that's
$1,600.
Yeah. As a head coach in Pinellas County, you're getting like $2,000. It's all based on the amount of kids that you're looking after.
Quit whining. You're making about $375 an hour. My God, that's horrible.
If you look at it, it breaks down to about 10 cents an hour as a baseball head coach. As the amount of time that you put in, or
that's for the love of the game and the kids. And God bless every one of you if you're listening.
Here's another thing. There's no help from the county to take care of our fields. We're out there today. Seminole High School is out on our field right now doing all kinds of field work in order to make our field one of the best in Pinellas County and the state of Florida. Because there's no help from the county.
No offense. I came out to watch you play one time. And Bogey's field looked like, it looked horrible.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's sad. That's what I'm saying. There's nobody to groom them.
Yeah, I mean, we have to do a lot of field cleanup ourselves. I mean, in the off season, we're not able to really touch it. I mean, it just kind of grows weeds in the infield. And I mean, our coach is just far too busy to go out there every day and take care of it. And
like Coach Miller, he's got a full-time job.
Right. I mean, and it just, yeah.
Our infield, your dad was helping out. I mean, it's terrible.
Rock solid.
The most that the county will do is mow the grass.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's about it. We got denied. We got denied on several things. We got denied on new clay. We got denied on new shell for the warning tracks.
You wanted the county to pay for it?
We need it. There's
no, I'm just asking.
We're hoping you would think that
one track, yeah.
Yeah, you would think that that's a basic necessity of a field is clay
and an esteemed program.
I'm not saying that Seminole deserves more clay than the other schools just because we have a historic program, but we haven't had clay delivered to our field probably since I was going there in 2016.
That's horrible.
As the DraftKings and the different, you know, Hard Rock Bets, as all this money is being invested to pull these players away to bigger programs, as we take arts out of the school, sports, the fundamentalness of playing a team activity and working together as a team, the importance for our youth, that's the reason things are going to change, because I'll never stop making this preach. The money should be put into these programs. Maybe they're going to pull away a five-star recruit or a blue chip or something. Maybe they're going to get that. But at the end of the day, there's nothing better than being at Seminole or being over at Osceola on a Friday night and watching these kids compete. There's no reason why the county and the entire state shouldn't be investing in these kids.
As Ben said, and I don't think this is the case in Joe's case, but as Ben said, there's really very few students that want to be involved in activities. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, it's outrageously difficult to get kids to participate, especially after the whole COVID thing. Kids have pulled back, and they're not necessarily participating in clubs anymore. They're not showing up to the games. Like Seminole, we have the splash zone, which is for basketball, where all the kids get rowdy in the student section. The participation across the board has just dwindled. There's no school pride anymore because there's so many kids online. There's so many kids that don't really go to school full time they don't have that emotional connection, the investment to their community.
Emotional equity in the school.
And we really need to bring that back. And I'd like to say that our new athletic director, he's really working towards that. The new athletic director for Pinellas County Schools, Mark Allison, he's doing a really good job at trying to get people back into sports. And I really do commend him for his efforts. And there's a long way to go, and I think he's the right man to do it, and he's doing a really good job.
Well, as Ray mentioned, you know, there's a loss of a lot of things. And I'll tell you one of the things with the mercenary attitude of playing sports, even at the high school level now. So he starts a bogey, decides he wants to go to Seminole. Then he can't like that coach. Then he can go to Hollins and then finish up, St. Pete Catholic. Absolutely crazy. But there will not be any more class reunions 10 years down the road, team reunions, hanging out with your buddies, you know, the camaraderie. Look how close you are to a bunch of your friends, you know, from high school and college.
Yeah, I know.
I have my 50th class reunion here. God, that's sad. Anyway, and I look at my friends, and I graduated in a class of 400, and I have probably 150 friends still from high school that I communicate with. Mm-hmm. And when we get together, our football team was state champs. We're gonna party. It was like it's 1975.
Yeah,
those days are gone.
Mm-hmm. I have my 10-year anniversary coming up, Mike.
Yeah, and you're gonna have a blast.
Well, I doubt anybody's even gonna come. So many kids are now just so against it. Everyone I talk to, all my friends from high school, like, why would I go to the high school reunion? Like, they don't see the importance behind that.
See your friends.
Yeah, they just don't get it.
And I tell you, who likes to go is the nerds. Because the nerds, they rule the world. They want to come back and show everybody their. They pull up in their Porsche,
flex their muscles a little bit.
They got some hottie on their arm. Yeah, yeah.
Back in high school, we had a running back. His name is Terry. Clearwater pulled him away. Tornadoes, and his father got a job coaching. And this was 1985. But we took that as an affront. We said, you know, take him. It made us double down, work harder, and that's what we did. But nowadays, when they're all leaving, it almost the guys that are staying, the dogs that are staying, and there are still some great dogs at these schools, man. You see day in and day out, they're almost being treated as a failure if they're not being recruited to go somewhere else. They're almost being like, you're not going to succeed. And what are we telling our kids from the time they're 12 years old getting into high school? You know, you got to compete for that. I'm watching last night's game. The quarterback for Ohio State used to go to Texas. Quarterback for Texas used to go to Ohio State. Even college level, they're spending 1 year in the portal, and they're not going to have any social network or any kind of thing to go back and look at it for a reunion.
The guy that took it to the house at the end was the roommate of the quarterback for Texas. Right? Yeah.
The flags when Michigan was trying to play after those victories.
Oh, he was the dude, wasn't he?
He was the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless him. But did you hear what he said in his press conference? She when in an interview she asked, you know, how was it with your former roommate, and he said, he looked at me and said, screw you. I thought that was great. But they love each other. Yeah, they got more camaraderie and they're on opposing teams than they will down the road.
Yeah, I think there needs to be some sort of, if these guys are getting these massive NIL deals, there has to be some sort of a contract that they sign, whether it's like a 2-year deal that they have
without
to
a shadow of a doubt.
You can't be throwing around that kind of money and not expect there to be.
Well, look
some
at Smith.
Kind of
Smith from Ohio State. He's not eligible for the draft this year or next year because of his youth. There's got to be something like that in place.
And Carson Beck just got a 1-year, $4 million deal to Miami. I mean,
the Hurricanes. We're not talking about the Dolphins.
That's more than than most of the rookie quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Penix,
exactly.
All make it. Even Purdy on the 49ers. I mean, they're making less than a college quarterback who...
That's the reality, Joel, and what's going to happen? Now, the NFL is going to start flexing their muscles and going, wait a minute, this whole thing. And when the NFL gets in line with their deep pockets, there will be change. There will be a structured AAA to, you know, the bigs process.
And look, and if I could put a bookend on this or a bow, if you guys are ready to move on. It takes a village. It's not just going to be the schools knitting the programs. It takes the community to support these programs. Show up on a Thursday or Friday night. Come out on a Tuesday night for a great baseball game. Come out and support these schools, even if it's just your kids or if it's your alma mater. Because remember, instead of staying home looking at your betting app and seeing if the pterodactyls are racing out of Korea and playing somebody else,
that's Ben. That's Ben.
That's me too sometimes.
That is me. I do love betting on the ping pong late at night.
Hey, let's dive into the NFL games that take place down here. Fergs, it's wild card weekend. There's some great games. And if you really look at it, across the board, and I know we're a little biased, but I think that game Sunday night might be the marquee game of the weekend there, Ray.
100%. The NFL knew what they were doing when they put Jaden Daniels versus the Bucks, and, of course, Cliff Kingsbury. He coached Mike Evans in 2012 at Texas A&M. He coached Baker his first year at Texas Tech. He's got a history here. It's not the reason why they put it there, but they want what sizzles. I'm telling you, though, 50 points on the over-under, I'm going under every time. This is not going to be an offensive production. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. The Bucks, I feel like, to win, they're going to need to score some points, but I don't know. Our defense has made the second half adjustments all year. 50 points is pretty high, though.
And we're getting a little bit healthy.
For a playoff team. So, yeah, I'd take the under as well.
We're getting a little bit healthy.
Although they're all saying, everybody, all the talking heads are saying, oh, it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a shootout. But you don't really see that in the playoffs.
Well, here's all the games that are going to take place. Joe's got those. And, of course, down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 111 televisions. Each one of them will be tuned into the playoffs all weekend long. And, of course, tomorrow night's watch party. Come down and join Madman Mac and the gang. It's absolute blast. You'll feel like you're at Ray J in the parking lot. There isn't a better place in all of Bucks Kingdom to watch a game. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I agree with that.
You're right.
So it all starts today at 4:30. Chargers take on the Texans. That's the AFC wild card. The nightcap tonight is actually on Amazon Prime. It's the AFC wild card.
Steelers. Some pissed off people about that.
Steelers Ravens.
Wait, the Steelers are playing the Ravens again? Is that the 17th time these two teams have met?
Yeah. 9.5-point spread.
Hey, I'm excited for that game because I saw something with whenever you have a 28-year-old quarterback with the Ravens, they've won the Super Bowl every time. So I went on the Hard Rock and I threw a little bet on the Ravens.
Based on that fact?
Just on that fact, Mike.
You're one of those guys in the ad, Hard Rock Bets. You don't need to know much, just a phone.
You're darn right.
28.
Have the Ravens number.
But I also do have a parlay where the Steelers are winning. But I got to hedge my bet. I got to cover every side, Mike.
We're going to have Christian Champ Sharp on at 12:45. He's our handicapper, and he'll break down where you should spend your money. Yeah.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, Broncos, Bills in the AFC, and then to the NFC at 4:30. It's the Packers taking on the Eagles.
Go Pack, go!
The Bucks and the Commanders on Sunday Night Football, and then the Vikings
that brim.
On Monday Night Football.
That's an ugly hat, Mike.
Did you say ugly hat?
That's an ugly hat right there.
That is one of the coolest, unique hats you'll ever see.
That green and yellow. Ugh. Packers?
Packers are the Buccaneers' only chance to host the NFC Championship game because the road to get there would require the Packers beating the Eagles and then beating the Lions.
I just don't see that happening. I think not only are the Lions a very strong team, they won me some money.
And they're getting a little healthy.
They're getting a little bit healthier. I think that they got a good chance of running all the way to the Super Bowl.
Very good chance. I mean, they're the leader in the clubhouse right now. I don't know if Joe knows this, but we had on the tee Florida 3 weeks ago, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Ryan Succop was in town to play in that golf event up there at Inverness. And we were fortunate at the last minute he called in, and we had a nice 20-minute conversation. And we talked about that Green Bay game. He brought it up. I asked him some of your favorite moments in the NFL, and he said, actually, you know, when I field goal, I think it was right before the half. Right. And he said, that field goal, he said, at that time it wasn't instrumental, but it was key. And so I told him about being down here at Ferg's, standing next to Mark Ferguson. And I went incognito because I didn't want to lose my opportunities down here at Ferg's. So I didn't share that I was a diehard Green Bay Packer fan. I'll never forget looking over at Mark Ferguson. And when it looked like they're, you know, we're advancing. And then the Rams game, a little tear went down his cheek, and he said, "We're going to the Super Bowl."
Yes.
And that's when I thought, you know, I'm pulling for the Bucks.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have let Scotty Miller run free down the sideline.
No. Unbelievable. And guess who that guy was that was covering him? King from the University of Iowa. I thought I was going to throw up. Right. My son was at the game. Barry Smith was there. Barry Smith, our good friend who played for the Packers and the Tampa Bay Bucks in that expansion draft in 1976, wasn't it, Ray?
76.
Yeah. He was at the game, and I said, did you have your Bucks gear on, or did you have your Packer gear on? He goes, well, I got the tickets from the Packers organization. I was in the suite. He goes, so I went a little incognito as well. But that was, that was the backbreaker right there.
Yeah, that was the moment. I mean, that was the moment. We still had a whole half to play, but that put us up, I believe, like 20-6 at half or something like that. then Brady was like just trying to give the game away at the end. Yes, he threw like three picks, and then we ended up icing it. And yeah, sending the Bucks to the Super Bowl, which honestly never thought I'd ever see, but it was amazing.
And the victory. So let's talk about the road to the Super Bowl tomorrow night, of course, over at Raymond James Stadium. And you, of course, break it down better than any in our arena, you and Peter Blake. What are the keys to victory tomorrow?
The offensive line, controlling the ball. And I was going to do a shout-out to Shervon Newton, but he's one of the defensive interior linemen for the Commanders, actually, with a Florida Central Catholic grad. So you got some local prep kid there if you're looking for a little...
Where was he at? Clearwater Central Catholic?
Yeah, he's...
They've cranked on some athletes over the years.
The Newton brothers, yeah.
But it's going to be the offensive line to control, because I think we already talked, Joe was talking about it. I really don't want to get into a shootout with these Commanders, and I think at home with the running...
They've won every shootout they've had.
Yeah, but...
For the most part.
The only thing we can do to our defense is to get them tired and let Jaden start getting off. And the thing is, the Commanders, they're number 30 in the league against the rush. And the Buccaneers have a pretty good rush in 2024, so...
Establishing the run game is going to be the biggest key for the Bucs, and then holding Jaden Daniels' run game, make him beat us with the pass, and I think the Bucs will have a nice night if they can do that.
We got to get Bucky to go off.
Oh, he's going to go off.
Wait, did you say Bucky or Ducky?
Bucky needs to get lucky, and he needs to ducky when they try to tear his head off. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
I mean, that's one of the biggest impressive things about this team this year is being able to turn around the run game. We've been, like, last in the league for, the past two, three years?
Horrible.
And so being able to now kind of reverse course and be one of the top run games in the league, that's what's going to set us apart in this game. And I think that's what's going to allow us to kind of open up and go to guys like Mike Evans. And, you know, he had an amazing game. We haven't had a show since Mike Evans got another 1,000 yards. So congratulations to him.
How cool was that?
And
that was
awesome. And our governor, he came out and made Mike Evans Day.
Yesterday. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
He made an official decree. It signed it and everything. It's a wonderful statement. And Mike
Evans, I love just saying this. Attaboy.
It's a wonderful day for us to celebrate. We should have the day off.
Announced until 5 p.m. So, I mean, I gave him the credit, and that was awesome to do it. But we should have done it a week ahead of time so I could have at least – I did wear my Bucks colors to work yesterday. But, yeah, 100%. And don't forget the Saints. In the first half last week, the Bucks had trouble rushing the ball. The Saints were blitzing. They were bringing the secondary down, and they were running the lanes. So the Bucks had problem finding those lanes. So the Bucks may have to pass early to establish the rush, but make no doubt about it. The Bucks job tomorrow night, just get the play action going and get that run going, and then let the defense beat off that.
And contain Daniels is the key.
Yeah, that's a big, because don't forget, in 2020, the Commanders almost beat us our first wild card weekend, and Heinicke.
I remember that. Heinicke was quarterbacking.
He was their leading rusher, 68 yards that game. So the irony is Daniels will probably be the leading rusher for the Commanders tomorrow night, but you're going to put Joe Tryon out deep, a little wider. You're going to bring Golston out wider. You're going to have Anthony Nelson in there. They're going to pinch him down. They're going to keep him in the pocket, and that's going to be the key to the Bucs defense, keeping Jaden Daniels in check.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our new perch. We're building a studio here on the inside room. If you come on down from Central, you walk in the front doors, we're right to the left. Stop by and say hello. I'll find some swag for you. And we'll be here for all of our broadcasts. We're launching a podcast format down here, and looking forward to the opportunity to spread the message and add more opportunities on RadioSt.Pete.com, FloridaSportsStreams.com, and, of course, AM 820, The Big 8. This show will also be launching here in 3 weeks over on Saturdays for 1 hour on The Big 8, AM 820. And then, of course, on Thursdays from 6 to 8, it's on the T, Florida. And as I said, I thought we were going to have a riot here on Thursday night when I was doing our first broadcast on the T, Florida. And we had a room full of Nittany Lions and Notre Dame fans, and they're listening to golf. And they're throwing beer cans at us and garbage. And
I'll bet in retrospect, though, they go back and listen to what they were listening to. They realize it was good. It was good talk.
It ended up great, but it was kind of comical because we had the speakers going. I'm like, I'm a Notre Dame fan. You just got to hold on for 13 minutes, folks, and we're having a little fun here. And they were booing and clapping, and it was kind of a wild night. So, as far as the defensive side. Are we completely healthy?
I wouldn't say completely healthy. Our linebacking is still a little iffy. Dennis got hurt, I believe, like the second or third game of the year, and he was doing a pretty good job, and he's not going to be back. So KJ Britt has to step up and be a nice player. Lavonte David, I mean, he's the veteran. He knows what he's doing, and he plays good in games like this, so he's going to have to lead that group again. But we got to get pressure on Jaden Daniels, but not and keep him in the pocket. Don't let him run free. I mean, we weren't getting any pressure on Spencer Rattler until the second half of that game. We need to get some.
He looked like the Heisman Trophy winner early in that game. I was nervous.
We need to get some edge pressure. Most of our pressures come up the middle with Yaya Diaby and Vita Vea, who's actually our leading sacks leader.
Didn't he make the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But
I love that cat.
But we got to get some edge pressure. We can't rely on our run stuffers to be sacking the quarterback.
And Joe mentioned something really smart there, because don't forget the key is the Buccaneers secondary. You can't give an offense too much time to pick us apart, because it's bend but don't break. We don't want Jaden to get too comfortable throwing the ball. You got to get that pressure without committing to keep him in the pocket at the same time. You don't want him to get comfortable, because the kid showed at LSU. He's got an arm as well as the legs, and we don't want to see him and McLaughlin and the rest of those Commanders starting to get off. So it's going to be a chess match, but again, I like the Bucs' chances on a chess match at home on Sunday night.
First game of the year, Jaden Daniels it was his first game in the NFL, so I'll give him that. His only, I would say, way of beating us was on the run. He had like 85 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. He only had like 110 passing yards, so that's going to be the key to the game.
Hey Joe, can I ask you a question? And Ben, too, while we're talking about the accolades, you mentioned Yaya. Of course, he gets the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Also, Tristan Wirfs gets his first-team All-Pro at left tackle. After getting the first team all pro at right tackle, never been done.
That's never been done before, has it?
Ever.
The University of Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa shout out there.
The fact that it took
Anthony Nelson.
The fact that it took us until Tom Brady to draft an offensive lineman in the first round is beyond me. But I'm so happy we finally did it.
And look at the teams that are wishing that they would have built their teams differently. And I'm not a Belichick fan, but the way he breaks things down and so simple for even a numbskull like me. And he was talking about all the mistakes that these teams have been making. And he said, why in God's green earth do you go get yourself, you know, the best quarterback in the draft and you have no offensive line?
Chicago.
Exactly who he was pertaining to. That's who he was pertaining to.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a running game, which is a bit of a running game.
It's Cincinnati, too, for that matter, because that's what happened with the Bengals for a while.
Well, look at Joey Burrow, Ames, Iowa. But anyway, Joey Burrow has been just battling his butt off, having arguably his best year. And he is getting the hell beat out of it.
No rushing game.
And no, yeah, they don't have a rushing game. The only guy they had mixing, he's with the Houston now, isn't he?
Yeah, and that was the thing when they went back and they drafted Jamar Chase. Is it Jamar Chase? Yeah, out of.
And he's the real deal.
Yeah, but they were like, do you take Jamar or do you take an offensive lineman? Because you already had Joey Burrow there. And at the end of the day in 2024.
Chase won because of Burrow's relationship, but.
He went out to LSU.
He still didn't do the job. I mean, my God.
No, Jamar Chase is pretty dang good.
That's what I'm saying. I said it. That was for obvious reasons, but you've got to build an interior offensive line. And look what the Bucs have done, what the loss is going back to.
Lost Kappa when he went to the Bengals. The
exactly.
Bucs are building inside. Now they got Bredesen, but you go back and you draft a Cody Mauch. You go back and you get your interior line because Jason Light realizes you got to win the run and the pass to have a team that succeeds in January, not just in September.
Besides Tristan, wouldn't you say that offensive line is overachieved?
Oh, yeah, they've been so much.
Given their resumes out of college.
In the Jameis era, I mean, we had no offensive line, no running game. I mean, the poor guy was getting smoked back there. And then we got Brady. And
you're an FSU apologist.
Dude, you can't sit there and lie and say it. I mean, you cannot sit there and say that our O-line was not horrible when Jameis Winston.
He was the king of the lookout block.
And then
look out!
We finally realized, hey, we need to protect Tom Brady. And
Your ass chewed in that hurdle. Yeah. In the huddle. Yeah.
Well, look at that. When they draft Tristan Wirfs, don't forget Andrew Hughes goes to New York and Mekhi Becton's a Jet. They passed on. And then the Buccaneers, people were giving them a little bit of grief when the Bucs traded with the Niners to move up one spot. They switched spots, gave them a 7th-round pick to take Tristan Wirfs. And look at what that's done now. Now you've literally got a guy who's already got his spot in Canton. Doherty should be working on that bus because not only is he a great player, he's a world-class person.
Well, and that's one of the traits I think you'll see on this Bucs squad, starting from Brian Ford and the gang, and then the GM and the coach. I mean, you don't have any really rogue players. The last one we had probably was that clown Brown, wouldn't you say?
Antonio Brown. I mean, he's definitely
a clown.
He's definitely a character.
Yeah. Well, there's a disruption in the clubhouse. I guess is my point.
A touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, I would rather have someone of integrity, consistency, and don't have a loose cannon, wouldn't you?
If you got a team of Antonio Browns, you're not going. You didn't win your fourth division championship, and you're not in the playoffs for 5 years in a row. Not if you've got more than one Antonio Brown, and even Mike Tomlin knew that when he let him in, get out of there in Pittsburgh when he first got let him get away.
Yeah, and I think if it hadn't been for Tom Brady and the position he takes against players, Antonio Brown wouldn't have been the success that he was. Playing for the Bucks,
and then he goes and cheats with Giselle, and I'm all mad about that. But we'll go there another.
Oh yeah, like that really happened. Okay, so I know what you're doing over there. You're figuring out all of your cockamamie bets for the weekend.
I had a couple tips sent to me from a couple of my friends,
a couple of your other loser buddies. They're losers losing with Hard Rock Bets.
Oh no, they're winning pretty good. Those were some of my big bets that I won big on. These parlays were from my buddy Cliphouse. He's been sending me bets, and so I've been placing those. But
you've
also
been making some eccentric bets. Where else have you been betting?
I've been betting ping pong.
I
actually
1-800 bets off Ben.
I bet ping pong while we were playing, and I just won. I won a $14 bet, a $24 bet, a $9 bet.
How much
bet
do you put down for these?
You know, 25 to win 31, 10 to win 12, 5 to win 9.
Did you bet on Forrest Gump though?
Forrest Gump, unfortunately, is not on here, but 10 to win 14, 20 to win 24, but they're all like, you know, it's slow. It's honest work. You know, you're working your way up, a couple dollars here, a couple bucks
it's
there.
It's honest work.
It is, Mike.
Are you sitting there in your homeroom and the kids are like, Mr. Botham, hold on a second. I got a ping pong bet. I got to get in.
The questions can wait. You know, the kids will be there. The period's long enough, but the bets.
Can they get bowling bets in?
They haven't had bowling on yet.
Damn it, you're an expert there.
They are doing, you can actually bet live on esports right now. You can bet on some of the, they play FIFA Online, which is the soccer game. And
you hate soccer.
I certainly do. I don't bet on the esports.
I can't say please.
But I do bet on the table tennis. Right now there's a bunch of
table tennis now.
And, well, that's the official title Hard Rock Bet. So I've been betting on that. There's some
next
great
thing league. You'll be on highlight.
I do like highlight. It's a fun game.
Yeah, and the Olympics showed us table tennis is a fun sport to watch. And if you got a little skin in the game, it's got to ratchet it up a bit.
And what's great on the Hard Rock is that you can watch the games live on the game. And so you see the guys playing, and they're not in great shape. There's some big guys over there. It looks like
playing ping pong.
It looks like a bunch of plumbers playing, and it's awesome. They're in some basement in Russia.
And there goes my trying to get a plumber as an advertiser.
Are you teaching Korean over satellite? Is that going to be a new language? Because
they're all Russian. These are all Russian guys in the TT Elite
series. They're infiltrating Hard Rock Bets now. They know everything you're doing, just like TikTok, pal.
I'm okay with that as long as I'm making money. I'm on the TT Cup, the TT.
What are you getting
series.
Paid in yen? They're paying you in yen? Rubles?
Hey, as long as it cashes, Mike, it goes into the bank account. The Czech Liga Pro is really good.
Oh, yeah. TT I've been following Star that pretty series. Close.
There's some really good competition on there. You got Pavel. He's been putting in.
We can't get him to follow the NBA, Ben. We can't get him to follow anything that's not baseball or football. But he's diving into that ping pong.
You got table tennis covered.
Table tennis. If you need a guy to help you win some money on table tennis, I am your man. Always betting the over on a lot of these games. You gotta kind of watch them. Stay refreshing it. You find the games. You know, one goes 12-12. You see those kind of high scoring games. You immediately go to the next game. You do the over 16.5, and you bet big on that. Or if you want to get a little risky, you go over 17.5 on the games.
I have an addictive personality. And I do not need to get involved in that.
Mike, I was on that till 4 a.m. one night doing ping
See?
Pong.
See, that's a problem.
And I guess what? I won $300.
That's like
bucks.
Me and Timu. I've been you know, homebound for like 2 months. You know what Timu is?
Oh, I know what Timu is.
I got Timu suckered, and I started buying stuff. I think I got everything Timu on with the exception of my Sports Connection hoodie. Finally, I cut myself off of that.
So that's why you need a bet on the table tennis.
So that way
it funds that.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We've never gotten into these topics, but it's a wild card weekend down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages, Sea Dogs Brewery down on the Intercoastal Treasure Island. I was down there this week. They're finishing up their renovations after the hurricane. They'll be up and rolling by aggressively downstairs as well. And that'll start in February, where we have, we'll have our own broadcasting booth for Big Monday and some other productions where we put it on down there at Sea Dogs. You'll have to come down and do one of your shows down there, because you're the king, Ray Kennedy, who joins us today, and we appreciate that. I'd loving to have that St. Pete vibe feel when you're doing your shows. Let's talk about your shows and how people can follow you. But you always are superb at finding an iconic spot or a scenic spot, so anybody that gets online and sees you realizes, you know, you live in paradise.
Yeah, and it's been a challenge since Milton and Helene and going out.
Yeah, it's hard down there to find. It really is.
I mean, you know, you look for a sunrise and sunset, but you can't be backlit because that ruins the shot. But I tell you what, very fortunate to see that we've been opening up. We've been ready. Tourism is going full strong. I'm glad, you know, at least in 2025 now, we're able to continue that. More places are opening. And I just, you know, someone asked me, why'd you start doing your shows? I said, well, it was 2020. It was COVID. And everyone was doing the show from the edge of their bed. I know nothing more or less than the average guy. But my family was in Carolina doing the safer distance thing. So I just started going live everywhere. And it's one of my things. So I'd love to come down to Sea Dogs and do a show down there.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely make that happen. And then, of course, as I mentioned, On the Tee Florida is live down here each and every Thursday from 6 to 8. And, Joe, you guys have a show. I've been listening. You guys are... You're entertaining. Bunch of young guys. They're 19, 17, and 18, I think, is your trio, right?
Well, I'm actually 20, Mike. Come on.
You're 20 now. I forgot.
Give me some respect
here. 20.
Why did that kid? Oh, wait. We got a little while longer on that one, Joe, but we'll get you that one. It's time.
20, 17, and 19?
I probably, yeah.
Well, I know Mikel is 17. All right. So promote the show a little bit.
Fridays from 12 to 2, you can listen to the Bump That Media radio talk show. We'll be back here.
A lot of humor.
First, once again, now that they gave us some space again, so should be a good time.
And how about the people that do the show with you? This is how you do promos for the shows.
Me, not it.
Me, myself, and I.
There you go.
Mikhail Morris, Evan Bacon, Julek. Great entertainment. Nice little trio of conversation.
A lot of comedy. Hey,
if I can. Yeah. What about your show, Joe, is that you guys are knowledgeable as heck, entertaining as anything, but you don't talk down. You talk too. And that's one of the reasons why I love you guys, because is entertaining.
They talk smack. They talk a lot of smack, which is good.
But, you know, you're not talking down to people. You can listen to the show and you can learn, but you don't have to feel like you're being lectured. So great job there, brother.
Well, thank you.
Well, and we were efforting David Wilson. He probably got busy. We're going to jumpstart our rowdy segment, as the Rowdies, of course, impacted by the hurricane, owned by the Tampa Bay Rays. So a lot of adjustments, changes there. But Al Lang Stadium, which is a beautiful facility for soccer, I've been down there quite a few times. We're partnering again in 2025. So we'll continue those conversations with Jim Hart and David Wilson, and they're going to have their own podcast about the wide world of soccer, which, as we know, is blowing up. We may not embrace it, some of us. And I've been pulled into it.
It's a kick in the grass.
Did your son ever play soccer?
Oh, I coached his U-18 there at Seminole for the Seminole Tigers.
It's great for the feet, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well,
and Joe, you played in high school.
Yeah, I actually just returned to the old pitch the other day. I played in a co-ed league with one of my buddies. He asked if I wanted to be a guest player.
You're taking out young ladies?
No, he said pitch.
Co-ed league.
Mix of boys, girls, but don't worry, I scored.
Yeah, against a girl.
No.
Feel good about yourself?
About the pitch?
Mike, that is extremely sexist, first of all. And
I could not play against girls because I'd always back off. Yeah. I mean, I'm just old school.
What, are you going to slide tackle a girl?
Yeah.
I ain't doing that.
Flag football?
And yeah, no slide tackling.
No slide tackling whatsoever.
I can't believe you even know any terminology in soccer.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, slide tackle.
I gotta know it if I'm gonna bash on it. You know, I'm not gonna just indiscriminately do it. I know what I'm talking about.
By the way, back in the '80s, we called slide tackling flirting.
Did you have soccer even at Hollins in the early 80s?
We did, but not like soccer teams today. And when Joe talks about playing a co-ed team, some of these the girls' teams over at Osceola, I go out and watch those games because they're usually the same nights as the basketball.
Girls' teams in this area are phenomenal.
Phenomenal. If you're not enjoying that, if you're a soccer fan and you're not getting out there, again, to support that local the prep sports we have here at our local high schools, and very fortunate to, you should be, because, you know, there's some great soccer.
There's no reason not to. It's $5. Get out there on a weekday.
The sport that I'm most impressed in from a female perspective in this area, volleyball. We had the media day down here with Primetime Preps, our partner, and of course, our good buddy Bob Putnam, big game Bobby Putnam. And we had, I think it was 17 Division I young ladies down here at Ferg's for media day, and two state championship teams. And that is deep. And these young ladies are playing all over the country.
Yes.
This is a hotbed for recruiting. You know that, Joe. You do all the breakdown for us. It's a hotbed for recruiting from across the country.
And they were just so grateful to be here. Every time we've had volleyball players on the show, just girls' sports in general, they've always been so much more grateful.
They smile during the conversations. They don't try to mug it up like the guys do, like they're tough guys, you know.
Yeah.
Especially during the football media day. They got their uniforms on, they're mugging it up and staring at each other. I'm like, knock it off. The girls are hugging each other and great to see you again. We're going to kick your ass tomorrow. I mean, well, Coach, I appreciate you taking time to join us today. We're going to wind things down because we've been having these technical difficulties, which is a shame. We're going to get you back on. You're very passionate, as you are with everything. And that's why people appreciate and respect your opinions. But as you said, things have to change, and I'm certain they will change. But right now, it's tough for us OGs, as they say, that are accustomed to the years of camaraderie and class reunions and team reunions and you know and pride on your side. Those days are in the rear view mirror right now, unfortunately. Thank you very much, Mac. We love you, man. Have a great weekend. All right. Dan McCarney, and it's sad. We'll get that solved, but we can share with our audience. I mean, adamant about his displeasure right now, and this is the guy that's in the know. Look at the program he's got two national championships. He's built two programs: North Texas State, Iowa State. Brought him from the ashes, and he helped over at USF, and then you know. His stint with the Florida Gators was obviously very successful.
There's a fine line. We love a Cinderella story. I think as a Buccaneers fan, I can attest. We love a Cinderella story going back to 1976. There's a difference between 64 teams being seeded in a round-robin tournament that plays on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and a 12-team playoff that ends up seeding. No, everyone wants to see an Indiana. We want to root for a Boise State. I want to see, but it's not going to happen. We were lucky to have the ReliaQuest Bowl here, and we had Alabama and Michigan. Either one of those teams could have stepped into this playoff and given a better game than we actually saw. It's not to take away from the student athletes and the things that they've done, because I'm actually doing the other side of the argument, right? But if you're going to see the 12-team playoff and sell that as it is, you got to figure out a better way to seat the most competitive matchups.
See, I really love how college baseball does it. You know, everybody who wins their conference moves on, and I don't think that that's really feasible with football. I mean, there's so many conferences out there, and you can't play 1,000 games in a season like baseball does. It's just the dynamics of the sport. Guys can't last that long. So I understand that they have to make these tough decisions, and you're going to have teams like we saw it in years past where like UCF got snubbed. So they have a harder job than a lot of – everyone gives them credit for the hard job, but everyone kind of poo-poos on them. You know, you're never going to make everybody happy. There's always going to be that team sitting on the outside. But I do think that this was a step in the right direction. We have – a lot more teams that have a shot now, where Notre Dame is a team that really hasn't had a shot in a while to get into this. And I might have a soft spot for Notre Dame because I like,
I like watching. Finally, you and I are on the same page.
I like watching Rudy, and that gives me a little, you know, a soft spot in my heart. So
I've got a Rudy story.
I heard he's not that great of a guy.
He's a jackass.
That's what I heard. Everybody hates him, and that they carried him off the field as a joke is what I heard.
Okay. I'll share the story because everybody knows Rudy. And if you don't know Rudy, you're a very young demographic.
You're living under a rock.
Rudy Rudiger, the movie. I had a friend that played at Notre Dame in 1975 and 76. He was an offensive lineman from my high school. I hitchhiked up from Western Kentucky University and went to the Georgia Tech Notre Dame game. That's the game that they took Rudy off the field.
You still got your ticket?
That's what everybody asks me, and I don't. But I have a, picture.
Okay.
Of the scoreboard to prove that I was there. There was no Rudy. And then when I asked my, I met Joe Montana. I actually drank some beers with those guys. Yeah. I stayed in the football players' dorm. It was a blast for me, you know. And got to meet a lot of cool cats. Anyway, so, you know, I called my friends like, you're a freaking sham. Rudy, great job on his part, you know. So I have him come to Des Moines, Iowa to speak. And I thought, well, he's probably changed. He's a great guy, gregarious. He lives in Henderson, Nevada. And just rude as hell. Yeah, Rudiger. And went to my daughter's Catholic school to speak. He didn't want to do that, and he was getting paid a nice sum, but unfortunately, that's the reality of Rudy.
Yeah, I heard people were all saying that he would just go crazy hard during practices, which I understand, and there's something noble to be said about that.
But he just turned into a jackwad now.
Yeah, but a lot of the teammates were complaining because they're like, "You're going to get us hurt. This is practice, man."
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with going hard in practice, but holy moly, you gotta understand some of these guys.
Dan Devine didn't like him, but Dan Devine was arguably the worst coach ever at Notre Dame and the Green Bay Packers. You know, that guy was an a-hole. I had a cousin that was a quarterback at Notre Dame in 1977, and Dan Devine was not a cool cat. Remember that name?
After Parsegian? Is he the one that gave him
exactly.
The okay, yeah, was a jerk.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
He's a Packers coach, too.
See, but I will say I am rooting for Notre Dame, the old Fighting Irish, to get out there and get a win against Ohio State. I'm not a big fan of Ohio State's head coach. I think he was born on third base, as Dave Portnoy likes to say.
Oh, yes. You
know, he's not the man.
How would you like to be a coach at Ohio State, though?
Talk about
no respect. I mean, they brutalize you. And, you know, we all know you got to beat Michigan.
Which they don't.
They didn't.
But now they're in a title game. So.
But now they love him. But yeah. they're savage about it. I mean, the Ohio State fans I know, they're savage about
it. Until they get shellacked by them Catholic boys coming up there.
They're not going to get shellacked.
Oh, I think
it's
so,
gonna be,
Mike.
Well, don't bet it. Let's just say that.
I am betting it.
Christian Champ Sharp will tell you at 145. 12:45. Do not bet it.
Hey, I'll say a couple Hail Marys, Mike, and my money.
We'll need a lot of Hail Marys. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to say that I think it opened up at 7.5 already. The spread. Check that out, Mister Hard Rock Bets.
I got it open and ready to go, Mike. So let's take a peek here. What Notre Dame's looking like?
Joe, your opinion?
Ohio State.
It could be a blowout.
I thought last night was going to be a blowout. Ohio State just looked really good, but Texas hung in there more than I thought.
The Texas run game could not get going because that people have underestimated all season long that defense of Ohio State. That is one tough defense with speed.
Hey, Notre Dame is +300 right now. That's easy money, Mike. Are you kidding me?
Easy money. They're getting easy money.
You might.
They don't need Post Malone for those ads. They need Ben Botham.
Table tennis.
Easy money.
Oh, the table tennis parlay.
You know, that's a great idea. I can parlay Notre Dame winning and then.
Can you do that?
Are you kidding me?
Do not mix table tennis with college football.
I'm going to do that live on the air right now, Mike.
I love this. We're going to hold men's feet to the fire on this. And you talk about Notre Dame's secondary is a little bit better than Texas's, and they've got a better offensive line than Texas had for the run game. So, although, you know, Ohio State was favored by, what, 20 points going into the last game that was a close game. They were favored huge last night, and like Joe already alluded to, Texas hung in there longer than we thought, till 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. I think we're going to see a close game, and my money rides with the Irish, too. And I'm not even going to say an act of contrition to go with it, but I will just in case.
Well, get the Our Fathers, the Rosemaries. I mean, the Rosemaries. The Rosaries. Rosaries. You think I would know going to Catholic school for 12 years a little bit about that?
Hey, I just put $10 down, Mike. Notre Dame to win, and then over 16.5 total points for Lucas versus Tomas in the TT Cup. It's live right now.
TT Cup, that sounds a little sexual.
It's going on right now. Right now, Tomas is up 2-0 over
Lucas. What third world country is this in?
It looks like it's going on in Russia right now in the basement. They're two athletic looking guys.
In the basement.
Basement.
Yeah.
Hey, we should start here at Ferg's. I'll get it. We used to have a ping pong table here, remember?
Yes.
Maybe we could get a league going.
Get the Hard Rock out here.
Hard Rock out here.
The Ferg Sports Group Championship. It's tied up 2-2, so it looks like my bet's looking good on 16-0.
And you're set for the next championship on the 20th.
$10 to pay out $48.89. I like it. That's a nice payday right there.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on New Perch, our new studio that is in the process of being built, probably be done by next week or the week after. And come on down and see us. Quiet down here because they're sharing their, first of all, it's a bit nippy, but we got plenty of heaters. And as I mentioned, 111 televisions, but you got wild card weekend. What time is the first game kickoff, Joe? Is it 4:30?
4:30.
So there'll be NFL football all night down here. And then tomorrow during the afternoon and then 8 o'clock, the game that Ray Kennedy will be down here and breaking down will be the Washington Commanders against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to advance in the playoffs.
Yeah, and what a better place. I was explaining on my Cup of Ray show earlier I did before I came on here in Tampa St. Pete Sports.
First of all, we haven't done this properly. How do people find Cup of Ray?
I'm in the sports web. I'm also on my YouTube page at Tampa Bay Ray. YouTube, I appreciate the likes and follows on that because I always say I'll put my, you know, drunken disorderly conduct downtown St. Pete on that for sure because it's my own YouTube page. Web, I do have administrative rules to live by, but it's Cup of Ray. And I stated, love it being down here at Ferg's. You ask me why, Mike, I'm here instead of over across the bay. It's not that I have any problem with being over there, but there's nothing better than the way the DJs run it down here. Every commercial break, we got live music. You got Friends. You got the Best of the Bay Wings and Burgers. And then Barry Lee, they also have some great drink specials. So that's why I'm down here at the world-famous Ferg's on a Sunday.
Nice pick, Champa Bays, baby. Yes, that's your favorite.
Oh, absolutely. But I got a question. Whatever happened to Super Wild Card Weekend? What happened to Super?
That was always tough for me to spit out everything is when I'm on the radio. But Super Wild Card Weekend.
They took it away from us, Mike. Yeah. I want it back. Give me back.
These games aren't super now.
The playoffs, college playoffs now are so big. It's like, it's just Wild Card Weekend.
It's just Wild Card Weekend.
I don't know. I'm going to fight it. I need Super back.
What about the dynamic kickoff? How dynamic was
that? Yeah, what's that rule?
Well, the only thing dynamic about that is maybe we got less injuries, and I'm all about that. But at the end of the day,
dynamic. I forgot about that.
I like seeing guys get mangled out there. It's football, baby. I want to see some action. I want to see some broken bones. I know it's
mangled.
Yeah, Mike, it's nice. Football. It's football. If I wanted to sit back.
I do have a topic I want to break down.
Let's hear it.
I've been talking to people about this. Okay, now I'm old school, obviously. And you got a lot of knee injuries these days. Mm-hmm. A lot. Why do these buffoons not put any padding on their knees anymore? Because it's cool?
Because their knee injuries aren't because they get hit in the knee. It's because something tears in their knee.
But they're also getting hit in the knees. And I know they've changed the rules to adapt to you can't block as you could in the old days and you really needed the knee pads, but they don't have thigh pads. They don't have knee pads. Just rolling out of bounds, they can whack into something. And there's a lot of those bumps and bruises. I don't understand.
I mean, you saw the injury of Flowers for the Ravens just last week. It was a knee-on-knee injury.
Exactly.
And it was a bruise.
Didn't have a pad.
Padding there. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you're right, Joe. They're not MCLs and ACLs, but they're also getting knocks in the knees. And a pad there would have probably kept Flowers. I hope he's probably playing tonight, but he didn't play last week.
I just do not understand that. That is as you said, people get mangled. Yeah. And you'd think you'd want some padding on your wheels.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not the brightest bulb.
I do agree with you. I mean, I was the guy when I played baseball, I always wore a cup, even when I was pitching. I got to protect the family jewels.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why these guys don't have more on them. And it just doesn't make sense. I mean, we got it right over there. We're looking at a picture of some Florida State players. And in the picture, they're wearing pads on their legs and on their knees. And nowadays, nobody's got anything on.
And these guys are going to be beat up old men, I can tell you right now.
They have that. They're just more of the turtles.
Girdles. That's cute.
You like that?
Yeah, but they don't cover the knees.
It's just a pullover thing, and it's got your thigh pads. It's got built-in.
Most guys don't like the pad. Don't like it.
The little thigh pad or the knee pad into the top of the edge of the pants.
Okay, you can talk into the microphone. You know a little bit about radio these days.
Right there, and you stick the knee pad and your little socket into the pants, and it's not big usually.
Well, we just broke down locker room preparations for the Bucks on Sunday. Hey, let's go over those games again. Why don't you break down that? You got them right there in front of you, Ben? Or you just got table tennis?
I didn't have it up here. I got it now.
He's still ahead in his parlay. He's still got to get the over on this tennis match.
It did hit the Sunday. So, yeah, going over Sunday today, or where is it? There it is. Sunday, we got Denver versus Buffalo at 1
That's the game I want to talk about. Broncos, I tell you what, are a team to keep an eye on. I mean, they're not going to beat Buffalo, but I tell you what, they could be a team of the future.
They got a good chance to upset them. Bo Nixon is,
and I lived there during the 80s. I was there when John Elway made his first appearance at Mile High Stadium. Bo Nixon is basically the John Elway of that era for the Broncos.
And look at Judy. Judy's in Cleveland now. Of course, he was a receiver with Denver, and he's looking at what Sean Payton's been able to do out there. And I'm watching the AFC North Hard Knocks there on HBO. Shout out to them, I guess, plug. But you're looking, he's like, oh, I'm glad I've came where I've come, and I'm having it. And you're thinking at the end of the day, he's probably thinking, man, I'd like to be back at Denver catching TDs from Bo Nix, because Bo Nix has done an outstanding job. But then again, the guy played 117 games.
Bo Nix is only about 30 now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got like 17 kids. And the guys, but he came in ready, just like a Brock Purdy, who started every game before he went to San Francisco. I think, and that's what I was talking with Coach Mack there, as much as these kids are showing they can be one and done and jumping in the portal, there's also something to be said for programs for a guy that has a chance to start over an extended period of time and get that experience.
Absolutely. It's been a very interesting this year with a lot of these quarterbacks. I don't know if many are going to be those standout guys, even with a lot of that experience that you're talking about. And I think we're going to see some of these teams like Denver, like Carolina. I think they're the ones who won a lot of these kind of quarterback drafts. Yes. I don't think that Chicago won with their guy. It's going to be really interesting to see kind of how the NFL evolves in these next coming years, especially with guys who are staying in college longer, who are playing for 6-7 years in college football.
Well, I would say the Washington Commanders went the right way. And I was not that impressed when he won the Heisman. I thought, hey, he's a nice player. It'll be a few years. He has taken command of the Commanders and gotten them where they're at.
Yeah, but then the script there is Robert Griffin III when they drafted him and Kirk Cousins back when, you know, Shanahan was still the coach here. I mean, you're in this day, in this league, you got to have a quarterback that's mobile to pull it down. The thing with Jaden is he's got that right mix of pass and run, so I think they're going to find a happy medium, because you don't want to get these quarterbacks killed, because these players at the NFL level, these defenses are a lot different than he was seeing even in the SEC at LSU.
Absolutely. It's been a great season so far this year, though. I've had a great time watching it, gambling on it, and I'm excited for the future of football. It's been a lot more parity this season. I think you're seeing teams that we haven't seen.
NFL and college.
Yeah, and I think
college because of NIL, I think.
Oh, absolutely, because of NIL. You're seeing guys trying to get their money, even though we are kind of poo-pooing on it a little bit. You know, the guys are moving around.
Well, the reason we're poo-pooing it, because there's no
checks and balances.
Precisely.
Yeah, there's nothing to protect.
There's nothing to keep you in your lane. I mean, it's a wild, wild west, and that's what Kirk Herbstreit said 2 years ago. He goes, this is a wild, wild west. They're not going to get their arms around it. And that's precisely what's happened.
Best book I've read in the last 3 years was Kirk Herbstreit's book. He wrote a great book, and he goes back to his Ohio State days and is covering the college. And I think he's probably the best color guy in the entire – in all of football right now. I love his inside knowledge. He calls things. He calls holds. He knows everything ahead of time. But talking about today's games – let's talk about this Pittsburgh Ravens game tonight, because, again, it's the 17th time they've matched up.
Hand the ball to number 22, and the game's over.
Right. I mean, give Pittsburgh a chance. Is it to Joe or Ben? Do either of you guys have a way to
– Because you got a 28-year-old quarterback. Yeah. Just ask Ben.
It's simple. It's easy math. That's all you got to know. 28-year-old quarterback, let it ride. But I do think that the Steelers are going to put up a good fight, and I think that that's a really good game for an upset if you're looking for one to put money on. I think the Steelers...
That's a slobber knocker, as they say.
The Steelers are going to be a feisty team out there, and everybody's... I don't think people give enough credit to the head coach over there with the Steelers.
You don't hear anybody calling for Mike Tomlin's head.
No, nobody's calling for him, but I think they need to give him credit in this game that he has something up his sleeve, and he continues to produce winning seasons for the Steelers, and I think that there's a good chance of an upset in that game and the Buffalo game. We need to keep an eye out on those, and if you're willing to, you know, risk a little bit on the Hard Rock, those are two games to throw a little bit of cash.
Well, as I said, you don't need Post Malone for their ads anymore. They just got Ben Botham. All you need is a phone. You don't need to know anything.
Hey, it's just money, Mike. You might as well spend it on something fun.
Okay, so next game?
Next game on that, let me go back to the Hard Rock. Then we have Green Bay versus Philadelphia at 4:30 p.m.
What's the spread on that? My Packers, Watson's out. Watson's out for the year. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's a Plant graduate. I love that kid, North Dakota State. He's a big factor in that offense. And I think with him being out of the offense, and you saw, I think he got pretty beat up, the quarterback.
Jordan Love.
He got beat up the last game, and I just don't think my Packers have. They have enough to take on the Eagles.
I don't think they have a chance.
I think
the Eagles
could be in the Super Bowl.
No, until they lose to the Bucks in the second round.
He's such a loyalist. I like that. You can't bait him at all.
I love this kid.
I mean, I think
you can't bait him ever.
The Bucks do have a better chance than Green Bay.
He still thought that his Florida State Seminoles had a chance at the halfway part of the season.
Ooh. Never said that.
You got to keep talking to Mike. They're saying they can't hear you.
You got Josh Jacobs running back for the Packers, and of course you got Saquon running for the Eagles. Can I say this much, Joe? If Jacobs has more rushing yards than Saquon, the Packers can give these Eagles a chance, or is it just it's in Philadelphia and there's not even a shot?
Oh, there's a shot. I mean, there's always a shot. It's the playoffs. The Packers are a playoff caliber team, and they've been injured here towards the end of the season, but they're a good team. I mean, there's no reason they can't go in and win a playoff game. I mean, Green Bay thrives in the playoffs.
We talk about in the house is Christian Champ Sharp. He's, of course, my producer on the outside. Tells me we had a few technical difficulties. And how's he handling it? He just drives down here to do his segment. Bravo, my man. And now, prognostication brings some actual factoids to the airwaves of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and brought to you by our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery and Shipyard Beer and Ice Pick Vodka, proudly served down here, and as well as Shrimpies, our other good friends down on Blind Pass Road. And then brought to you by our good friends for all of our high school coverage, and that is Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages, the U.S. Marines on the World of Golf. We're on the T Florida. We're adding a lot of great clients, and we'll talk more about that on Thursday from 6 to 8, again, live from here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and then migrating down to the water when it warms up. And he's in the house, Christian Champ Sharp. What's up, brother? Did you have a nice Friday evening?
Yeah, it was a wonderful Friday evening. Obviously, watched, as we predicted, on the T Florida on Thursday. Not only did we predict a Notre Dame victory, I also said that Ohio State would come in there. It got a little dicey at the end if you had -6 or -7 there. Nice Sawyer let his old former college roommate strip sack there to take it back to the house. Had some buddies there, actually, some Ohio State guys traveled down to Dallas, so that was always fun. They actually ran into Mr. Feinbaum himself, Mr. SEC, Paul down there. Had to give him a where's Lou Holtz, he liked that kind of nugget there. Enjoyed your Rudy story as I drove down the nice 275 there. But, yeah, no, I had a great evening there. A little balmy today, I'm not going to lie. It does feel like Washington, D.C. out there. Did see some Commander stuff. Did see some old Redskins gear.
That's your kind of neck of the woods, isn't it?
It is. I'm from Richmond there.
Did you grow up a Redskins fan?
Oh, heck no. I did get confused when they doing the Tomahawk Chop and all that good stuff there. So I had to figure out Florida State, obviously. Richmond was the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves growing up. Big baseball guy. Actually saw one major thing I saw was Dale Strawberry. When he was having his rehab up there, I saw him play.
Rehab on his body or rehab for...
for the drugs, unfortunately. but it was fun.
You weren't in there with him, were you?
No, unfortunately. But I did enjoy seeing Tripper Jones, Ryan Klesko, all those guys coming up, Steve Avery, all those guys coming through. Enjoy it there. But no, great evening there. I was enjoying the... table tennis talk, obviously, as I go on the
air. Okay, you're a gambler.
Hey, now my ears are perking up. I'm a little excited.
You have never, ever bet on table tennis.
I have. Of course you got to chase the losses.
Oh, my God.
I told you.
What is wrong with you guys?
It is honest work, Mike. We're out here making a living, and you're over here poo-pooing on us, Mike. This is hard God's work.
A guy that just deals in black and white. And now you're betting on basement table tennis in Russia.
I'm going to shake this man's hand over here. This is a good guy.
Mike, as we talked on Thursday, and Bill Butner, pro of St. Pete Country Club down there, I was getting validated from a numbers perspective on doing the golf and doing that. And now I'm getting the handshake from a fellow, I wouldn't call him a degen yet. I mean, obviously, we're going down table tennis. But the thing is, the weakness that we have is golf, and that we have the
better. The weakness that you have is gambling.
No, and that's the thing. We gotta chase it a little bit. But luckily, this week, we haven't had to chase. If you haven't, we're on the T Florida. I had 50-1. Mr. Harry Hall, first-round leader at the Sony Open. We got Russ Henley in the mix. We got Seb Straka in the mix. Yesterday, we hit Lucas Glover over Emilio Grillo, Grillo there. So a lot of good, obviously, at the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, minus one with Mikey there, giving me a Zach Johnson in the chat there, unfortunately, from the for the Iowa side. But no, I'm looking forward to a good weekend. Picks I really like today.
Yeah, let's go there.
Yeah. I mean, as I look down here at Ferg Sports Bar, one of the team, my national champion on the hardwood is going to be the Duke Blue Devils. They're playing Notre Dame right now, actually, that they have up there. I like them to win it all, actually, the very young group there. But a team that I look forward to actually be Tennessee Volunteers, number one in the nation. I think they're up against it today. From the Texas Longhorns there. I like the plus five.
They got their ass handed to them by the Florida Gators.
Yeah,
by 30.
Hey, Mike, here's the thing. We go to the next game, and we go to the next bet, and we do that as we keep rolling here.
You're mercenaries.
And as we do that, so I like in that game, a big game that people might not look tune into that I'm really looking forward to is San Francisco Dons versus Santa Clara. So these two teams are one going back in the West Coast Conference behind Gonzaga and St. Mary's. I actually like San Francisco Dons to actually maybe win that conference. So team to look out for, a little bit sleeper down there as we look down.
There you go, Ben.
As well.
Give me some in-depth basketball.
I like this. This
is right. I try. I got some guys on the back end to help us there around there. And they also so basketball there. We also like Texas Tech today. They're going up against the Iowa State Cyclones. I like Texas Tech. That actually might have started as I do my driving.
You like Texas Tech's Iowa State's ranked number two in the country.
Hey, they're playing at home. We're playing on Saturday. And, Mike, we're not talking about a seven-game series here. We're not talking playoffs here. We're talking on a Saturday, as you can see down here at Ferb's. I mean, if we came down here, I mean, the road team could probably come in here and be like, what are we talking about, right? So, I mean, when we put on the lights, we put on game time, everybody is, you get your best shot. We're talking conference play now, deep in. These guys know each other's bag, as they like to say. I do like Texas Tech to at least keep it close on that side. So those are two games on the hardwood. Heard these boys talking about some football
action. How about some NFL for the people who are going to be down here all weekend at Ferg's?
So a thing, if you know betting, let me know a tease. You might go down one of these bars and get a tease. So when we talk about teasing the lines here, we're going to actually trust Vegas has actually got some solid lines out there. So we're going to bake in some points. When we talk about that. So I actually like baking in some points for the Houston Texans.
What's baking in points for the novice, for the guys like me that don't have a gambling habit?
For instance, when I look at the ESPN bottom line here, I'm looking at Rams plus 2.5 versus the Vikings. We can for Monday Night Football, we can actually get 6 points. So we can actually put the Rams up to 8.5. So not only do they not have to go within that, but you get a little boost there, a little bit more.
That's the bacon in the points.
Yeah, a teaser there. So they kind of tease you to be like, ooh, this can't lose. It sometimes does lose, unfortunately. One bigger that if you're a novice better, and you'll know if I'm talking anything here. The one thing you don't do on a tease is never go through zero. So never take a favorite and go plus money. Worst bet you can make. The odds are not there. Obviously, when you tease, you want to go through three. You want to go through
four. Need him on speed dial, Ben.
Six.
Hey, I know it. I got to watch out now.
You want to go through seven, obviously, in doing those things. And if you want to tease a total, obviously, some key numbers there as well. But what I'm looking at is I do like the Ravens talk here on that. Obviously, Mr. Henry himself, first touchdown. You're not going to win much money off of it. I actually had Will Howard to score the first touchdown yesterday. I thought it might be Ibuka there, but obviously you're not going to win much going Derrick Henry there. But maybe a Derrick Henry touchdown plus Ravens to win outright. You'll get a little bit more money back that way. So those are games I'm looking at. You guys were talking about the Pittsburgh game. The thing is with the Ravens, would there be anything more symbolic than a kick coming down to Justin Tucker? I mean, the guy, what I've heard is from
Who's money?
Money, I don't know, Mike. You might be burning money if you continue down that track early in the season. But actually what I've heard is that they've replaced him with the punter to do kickoffs. And ever since that switch, he actually hasn't missed a field goal yet. I don't know if this is a trick of the trade or what's going on there, but obviously, if you followed Justin Tucker this season, it's probably going to come down to a kick. Got to trust that or not. So getting some points on that is always nice. Then looking at tomorrow, obviously big games down here. For talking Bucks, obviously I give a fist bump to my man Joe. As we talked about a couple weeks back on Mike Evans' 1,000-yard season there. Looked low. I think we were only at 515 before we jumped on the air on this same exact show. Said, hey, he was going to light up down the stretch. I didn't know it was going to take the final play of the regular season to do it for us. But, hey, I almost had to – I'm sure Bucky got some looks. I'm sure Baker said, hey, guys, we got to go down here. But Bucky got us in the end zone and obviously a strong finish there to the end. I was actually at the game week one with Jaden Daniels. I was in the back of the end zone. Saw a rookie quarterback that looked a little flustered, had great legs. Thought people probably want to draft him for your fantasy league. I didn't see – But and so there is that. He's already seen it. Rookie quarterback against Todd Bowles. Obviously, you want to take Bowles there. The boys are getting a little healthier. Obviously, coming back and doing that health-wise has been a big thing, especially on the defensive end, getting Winfield back. Shaq Barrett being signed back is.
Is he active?
Yeah. I mean, he played last week. It's better than Kenny Britt. I promise you that. I mean, Kenny Britt on PFF is you've got to go probably seventh page to find him. When we talk about rating there. But my issue is I do think Jaden Daniels is that guy. I think he is a solid quarterback.
Yeah, I was saying that earlier. I didn't think so initially.
Yeah.
And I really want him to win the Heisman, I thought. Yeah.
The thing is,
it'll take a while.
I mean, even for me going back, I remember actually a trip to Aruba. And what was I watching? The Bucks versus the Washington Redskins. It's something about the playoffs that we end up facing these guys very often. Unfortunately, I was at the game. Up in D.C. when we did the We Like That for Mr. Cousins himself. I was actually at that game, which was a sad state of affairs. I actually like and don't – this is where I bet with my stats there, Mike. I don't bet with my heart. I'm actually going to take the Commanders to win tomorrow night. Take the plus +3. Actually, I would tease that up to a plus +9 if you wanted to do that. Sorry, Joe, I know. I just think that I appreciate Baker and the boys. Historic season, 40 touchdowns, but I'm also know it's Baker Mayfield. I know that.
He's been a good mob member. It's strictly business,
Joe. It is. I mean,
it's strictly business,
Joe. I try. I mean, do I want him to win? For sure. Would I love them to see play against the Eagles again and Rondé Barber go back up and put the Rob Van Dam fingers on his back and take us back in the day to a conference championship game if we play the Eagles or the Packers? I don't know. I've seen him before. I think Jaden is that guy, and I think that's where we might struggle tomorrow. Outside of that, I do like the Vikings to beat the Rams there. The Fires, obviously.
They're playing in Arizona.
Yeah, they moved it, obviously, with the Fire there and that sort of thing. But I think Darnold and the boys actually played very well last game of the season. They struggled in the red zone. I still think Darnold there, and that was also a really good Lions team there as well. So I like those games. Those are ones that I have my eye on.
As we sit here on Wild Card Weekend, what's your prognostication prediction for Super Bowl right now?
Right now,
I think both divisions are wide open.
They are for me too. Without the injury in the last regular season, I actually like the Green Bay Packers to make a little run. Unfortunately, with the injuries to Love and Christian Watson, obviously,
they said that that's horrible. Yeah,
it makes it a little tougher there. I know Mike likes that pick there. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be the Chiefs. But here's the thing: I'm telling people.
Chiefs defense is
this is the thing that I'm telling everybody for the Chiefs. They're actually going to lose. And then what's going to happen? Swift, Kelce breakup. And then we got a breakup album that's going to be top of the charts 2025 there. It's already written in the script there, as we know.
Oh, my God.
That's what I think there. I actually like the Buffalo Bills if they can get by the Browns. I know we just talked about that. I actually like the Browns +8. The Broncos +8. One thing you want to look at there is Sean Payton's a hell of a coach.
Yes, he is.
Seen there. Bo Nix has grown up. As we've seen that as well. And that defense is dynamite. I had them in fantasy this year. Thankful for that. And Mr. Gibbs give me the fantasy title this year, but
you got the title. You won,
of course.
Quiet confidence.
They had that. I had Jalen Hurts, which was nice.
You think I'm a chump? Of course, I won it.
Had Gibbs there. Also had what was the other big one? Devontae Smith was a nice one as well. But overall, so I'm looking forward to it. What do you guys think? What are your picks for the Super Bowl?
I'd like to see the Lions in it. I think the Lions have a really good chance in making it all the way. I agree with you. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make it the whole way. And you know, maybe you're right. Taylor doesn't like a loser. She might be leaving him just like that. But I do think my pick's got to be the Lions. I'm not sure on the other side though.
Lions Bills would be a good Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs aren't as good as advertised this year. They found ways to win close games. And I think it's finally – they're going to get bit in the butt in the playoffs. I think either the Ravens or the Bills are finally going to get at them, and one of those two teams will make the Super Bowl. And then against the Tampa Bay Bucks, of course, from the NFC.
That is loyalty at its finest.
It's wide open. I mean, I would love to be a hater on Joe there, but, I mean, if Baker and the boys can continue to put up the points, if the defense gets there, and, I mean, we've already seen – I mean, it's not far fetched. We've seen this team actually be able to go.
The Eagles there, right? And Lions, the NFC.
That is true.
Top two teams.
And that's when we are healthy.
So say what you want, but
that's a very good point. That's confidence.
If we had some warmer weather, I'd feel a little bit more confident. I'm not going to lie. It is a little wet and balmy out there, but I mean, we're also going up against a rookie quarterback, and that if we can start getting healthy, obviously we can start putting points up. I'm glad only one team is trying to steal our offensive coordinator currently, which is nice. But the boys, obviously, we've been in the playoffs before. I mean, obviously, this is a division title that will not be able to get out of our grasp for another year. Baker and the boys putting up historic numbers.
And we have Baker. That's the key.
And you know what? As you guys
are a fighter, man.
As you guys said before, with a quarterback in the NFL, what do you need? The legs. And that's the thing Baker was able to do to close out last week's game. There as we needed that game to get into the playoffs there. So his legs, let's keep the decisions down and let's do that as well. But hey, Jalen McMillan.
Slide when you need to. He needs to slide when you need to. I love his toughness.
And I know you're talking about legs and you're saying how you bet. We're trying not to bet with our hearts, but a guy who's got more heart than anybody out there on the field, and I'd say in the NFL, definitely has to be Baker Mayfield. He's got
more
heart.
His teammates love him, and they get behind him because of that.
And that's that stuff that makes an okay team or a pretty good team like the Bucks are.
And they got chemistry.
It elevates them to the next level, and I think that's what's going to drive them further in the playoffs than they probably should. I don't think that they're the most talented or necessarily the most deserving team to go deep into the playoffs, but you have a team that really rallies behind a quarterback, a team with a lot of heart, with a lot of experience as well. They've been there. They're ready to go deep into this playoff.
It's kind of like Notre Dame's team.
And the big thing that I'm actually taking the Commanders, and hopefully everybody hearing me is going to put out me wrong here, we got to get fans in those stadiums, and we got to get that a home field advantage on Sunday night.
We will.
8 o'clock as we do.
I can't see it not happen.
Last year against the Eagles, place was jumping. I mean, listen, it's Tampa. It's Florida. We're going to have opposing fans here. It's just the moral of the story. But the Bucs fans, especially last week against the Saints, they'll be ready to roll.
I agree.
I think that's the deciding factor for me. If we can do that, if we can rattle the rookie, obviously he's been here before and played in that stadium. But I do trust that if we can get healthy on the defensive end, there's no reason we can't continue to put up points from the
last question. We got about 3 minutes. For the novice listening and for the people that don't know anything that bet like Ben does, and me, what would be the safest bet this weekend in your opinion?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot there. As I do that, if you want to follow any of my other picks here, you can follow me on X, Champs311, Champs311 on X, obviously on our Thursday show.
We want some easy money.
Hey, I have to
easy money.
If you want easy money, I mean.
Ping pong.
table tennis in a basement in Russia.
God, the first leg of that parlay hit, like it did go over in that game. So
I mean if I'm looking at the line, I just go with the first game. I mean the safest bet is probably, I mean here's the thing, like when we talk about safe bets, then you're talking like a money line of like, why not just go Baltimore minus 500? What's that mean? You got to put $500 to win 100. You got to put down $5 to win a dollar.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's the safest. That's why it's the highest odds to hit. But if you want to do more value and you want to risk a little bit,
risk it a little bit.
So if we want to risk it, let's just build something here. So if I like Buffalo, let's go Buffalo. We'll go Ravens. We'll go Bucks. Yes, we're all picking money line favorites right now. But if we do those three, you're getting plus 133. You're getting your money back on those three there. And the good thing is there, if the first two hit, then...
Mitch, you and I go together on a parlay.
Here's the thing, Mike. Even if that hits, here's another word for you novice bettors out there. It's called a hedge. No, it's not the garden. It's not the nice landscaping that Mike's got at his house here. A hedge is that you can put in money on the other side so you can guarantee yourself a win. So if we get two wins today from the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills, two teams that we know, then you wait on the end. And you wait for the Bucks and see how that goes. And then you could put on the Commanders to win some money. But those three there, I really like. Obviously, if you want to go early on here, let's go Chargers money line to start us off there with Mr. Harbaugh and the boys there.
These Christian champs, Sharp, we're up against it. A great, great show. Unfortunately, you get to get a lot of information out of Coach Dan McCartney. We'll get him back. But for Wyatt Ross, Christian champ, Sharp, Ben Botham, Dan McCartney, Ray Kennedy, Joe Boudreau on the controls, Joe Geiger down here. I'm Mike Rickard. Thank you for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Go Bucks. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.